A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The lights probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 456. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about After the Warming. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
This is a two-part speculative documentary that was first broadcast on the BBC in 1989, and in the US and Australia in 1990. It was written and presented by one of the leading science broadcasters of the time from British television. That was James Burke. And it's a little different for British Invaders because we are talking about this piece, which is about climate change. The first episode that we talked about last time covered the past leading up to when the show was produced, but it was presented as if it were a show coming from the year 2050, you know, 60 years after it was produced. So now we get to talk about those projections in the second episode.
We do indeed. And that was called episode 2, The Secret of the Deep, or Secret of the Deep. And having so brilliantly laid out the sort of history of the world and climate change, both natural climate change and human-made climate change in the first part, James Burke then moves on to fill in his audience of 2050, what happened between roughly 1990, when this was broadcast in the US and Australia, and 2050. So this is where we get firmly into speculative territory, because at this point, James Burke and his team are speculating about 60 years of human development and climate change. And this is where it gets really fascinating, Brian.
Yes, absolutely. And we really are getting into a speculative and sort of science fictional take on things here, because we have someone who has something that looks very much like a Star Trek holodeck and is talking about what happened in our future leading up to 2050. And as we look at it, he gets a lot of that right. You know, we're now maybe two-thirds of the way through that future, and there's a lot that he either gets right or pretty close to right. And a lot of that is the inertia in efforts to address climate change from the global community. Not that surprising to be saying that in 89, but he was discussing how there was an impact to that delay in reacting to climate change. And he also predicts an international war in the Middle East, which was a few years out at that point, and of course would happen.
He does, and of course he also predicts European, African, Middle Eastern, and Australasian refugee crises. And again, looking back now, it seems that remarkably prescient that he was able to tell us that this was coming. He talks about changes in the salinity of the oceans, how much saltiness there is, and the knock-on effects on climate and, of course, geography that we'll have. He was perhaps slightly off about Japan being the major superpower in 2050, although I suppose there's still time, 25 years to go, so who knows. But it's remarkable how close he got, Brian.
Yes, the Japan references do feel dated to something from the late 80s or early 90s. But my favorite prediction, not the most important, but my favorite prediction in this is he talks about people working at home, working remotely using advanced communications technologies, which definitely has happened to varying degrees over the years. And there is a note at one point where, if you follow along the dates, he was talking about large numbers of people working at home by the year 2020. And of course, we know in 2020, there were a great number of people who were doing that. Of course, that was because of a pandemic, and many of those people would go back to the office. Nevertheless, even before that and after that, there is a great deal of working at home that happened in quite a similar way to the way that he predicted it.
Yeah, amazing stuff from James Burke and his team.
Yes. Now, one of the things that he didn't get quite right that I think is interesting is he had the international effort against climate change being much more organized than it actually was, with a new international organization starting in the year 2000 and so on. But some of the things they were doing and some of the things they talked about with dealing with climate change, some of those things were pretty close, and we'll talk about that a bit more in a few minutes. He did have the impact of climate change being more severe, or being severe a little earlier than it actually was. And we'll talk about that a bit more as we go to.
So there were obviously reactions to this show, both at the time of broadcast and of course since, that we're going to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. And this is not as well known or as well remembered as many of Burke's other shows, which is too bad. I think it deserves to be well remembered. And since the VHS release, there haven't been many official releases. I've been working with this archival download release that I purchased and so on.
Yeah, I'm astonished that it's not better known here in the UK, where James Burke is still such a big name. I know, of course, as you've said, Brian, it shows up in various university archives in the US, which probably reflects its public broadcast in history, and also in Australia as part of their resources on climate change. I looked for reviews of the programme, and of course, I was disappointed, although perhaps not too surprised, to find that most of the reviews were on websites which basically deal in climate change denial, critiquing and tearing apart this programme. You know, I express a small sigh about that, Brian.
Yes, there are also some reviews floating around from environmentalists and people with more sympathy to the environmental movement, and the sentiment from those is almost always, why don't more people know about this? Why isn't this show better known? And there are some interesting comments there, and there are some contemporary reviews that are still available. Those are all very positive, and they were all very impressed with how it was done and what Burke had to say. Some people thought it was a little bit too affable and having little bits of humor and so on when talking about something so serious. And I believe Burke actually responded to that and said, you know, well, this is how you get more people watching it.
Yeah, very much James Burke's presenting style, and very good at communicating messages and ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of the predictions that he had in there still seem pretty solid. The ideas about greenhouse gases and warming temperatures, with how they're tracked and measured and looking at them with models and prediction and so on, those were really quite accurate. They're in line with the way we talk about how things are measured now. Also, the importance of developing countries and their role in international negotiations and how they would be part of things in the future. That's accurate. They still have some of that kind of involvement, and some of the things he was looking towards in the future are still some of the things that we're looking towards in the future as well.
Indeed, yeah.
So the things that he missed that were not as accurate, he did have some of the impacts, the weather impacts of climate change being serious earlier, either even more serious than they are now, or as serious as they are now, but a little earlier. And also the temperature increases that he was predicting were more serious. And unfortunately, they were in Fahrenheit, and we now measure these global temperatures in Celsius. But he was talking talking about increases of 8 degrees, which is close to 4 degrees, happening sort of already when we're talking about trying to stay to 2 degrees. So he did have some of those being more severe, but the ideas and the types of changes and the types of increases were all very much realistic and were things that happened or are still happening.
Interesting stuff. He talked about CFCs as well, didn't he, Brian?
That's right. And this was actually another thing that was a bit of a miss there, because he talked about CFCs as a major greenhouse gas and about them being a major problem into the future, when in fact CFCs were effectively phased out during the 1990s. And if you remember the talk about the disappearing ozone layer and the hole in the ozone layer over the poles, this was something that was related to CFCs, and they were also a greenhouse gas. But that was something that we were able to phase out, and we did. So we no longer talk about them as a major factor as a greenhouse gas, because they've been taken out of production and reduced so much. And that's maybe part of the reason that the climate impacts are not quite as severe as what he was projecting, because that was one significant thing that we were able to deal with quite effectively.
When the world recognized the problem, took action decisively, and improved things. Not many examples we've actually done that since, I'm afraid, Brian.
Yes. It is something that does happen, but unfortunately, sometimes the most serious problems are also the hardest ones to tackle. And the most serious things that are in the environment and that are acting as greenhouse gases, those can be some of the hardest ones to eliminate.
So I will confess that I had not seen this show before you put it on the list for us, Brian. And I'm amazed that I didn't know about this, that people don't know, seem to know about this program here in the UK, that it's not shown from time to time here, and that people don't watch it and talk about it. Because it does seem like an astonishing piece of television from a great science presenter on the BBC. More people should be talking about it, I think.
I would agree with that. This was in the US, and stretching to Canada over cable was a big deal on PBS when it aired. And I don't remember hearing about it or hearing references to it very much since.
And of course, some of our listeners may think we are stretching our remit here by including this show in British Invaders. I will say that we do get some reactions whenever a show leads us to talk about politics, Brian. And we've added this one after the warming to our roster, not because we're running out of titles or because we particularly want to get political, but we feel this is a piece of speculative documentary making, much in the same genre as Threads by, of course, Mick Jackson from 1984, which we talked about, well, years ago on the podcast, Brian, when we combined it with The War Game.
Yeah, and I think maybe it is stretching things a bit to include this, but I think stretching things a bit is part of what makes things interesting, and good coverage of science fiction, I think, should include these related types of things. And this was definitely a remarkable piece, and it's worth covering. So I think on that note, we should talk about some of our own thoughts on this more than we already have. So, Eamon, what did you like about After the Warming?
I liked just about all of it, Brian. But like I said, this was my first time coming to this show. I love James Burke, a wonderful presenter, a wonderful communicator of science and technology and medicine on British TV. As I say, Brian, I vividly remember the 1970s with James Burke explaining so much stuff to me on television, stuff that I'm sure had some, you know, influence on my decision to apply for and go to medical school because of the medicine and science he was teaching me. What did you make of James Burke as a presenter on this show?
Oh, I thought he was brilliant in this. I thought he did a wonderful job with it in making a narrative of these things and presenting it in a very engaging way. And and combining the look back and the look forward, I think was fascinating and was very well done.
In terms of the setting or the sort of device they use to tell the story, the idea that he's in a 3D volume-like studio, or a holodeck, as you referred to it, Brian. How did you think that worked for 1989?
I thought it worked well. They didn't spend too much time showing us what the gadgetry looked like. They did show us that, but they spent much more time with James Burke on location or showing footage of different things. So it became the tool where he could be out in the past or in our future looking at things and talking about different things. So as a tool for presenting things, I thought that worked well. And I will say the look of this is very good because most of those things sort of get out of the way and it's just showing us the world as it was in the past or as it is in the present, or when it's showing the future, it isn't making it look too futuristic. It's just showing us things to give us some of these ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I particularly enjoyed that device. If we haven't made it clear as we go along, most of it is James Burke actually on location. But the idea is that this is supposedly being created by a 3D environment to do so. But yeah, his wonderful globe-trotting style, the reenactments they do, superb locations, and James Burke as the man in a slightly futuristic suit, but not that far, not too far divorced from what we would recognise as sort of, you know, gentleman's tailoring now. But James Burke, the man in the suit, in all these locations, explaining the past and the present and the future to us. Wonderful.
Yeah, they, I think, avoided doing too much in the way of making things look futuristic. You know, they would show things in a surprisingly neutral way, or it's, you know, where they'd be showing a conference in the future about these climate decisions and so on. And it was not jumping out at you that it was very late 80s or early 90s, or that it was a big attempt at looking like the future. It was much more about telling that narrative of what happens and what got worse and what things were successful in helping to reduce the impacts of climate change.
Obviously, we can't really overstate the importance of his message. This was really important television he was producing, with something that was very prescient for 1989 and still seems like that now, watching it in 2024.
What did you think of the ending and the message that he delivers in a sort of much more direct way to end this show?
I thought it was extremely well done. You know, it impressed me, and I had to go back and look at it again to watch the ending again. Yeah, I thought it was terrific. What about yourself, Brian?
Oh, I thought it was very good. I remember that moment from 1990 particularly vividly, where James Burke basically says, you know, from the 2050 vantage point, if we only could have done better in the early 1990s.
Yeah.
And it was pretty transparent that he was delivering the message to the audience, but it was so compelling and it was so well done that it stuck with me for, you know, 30 odd years.
Yeah, yeah. It is very impactful stuff. And I'm, you know, I'm delighted that we've included it as a show to cover for British Invaders, even though it's perhaps a slightly unusual one. But of course, it does link back to other stuff we've done before. So yeah, terrific.
It does. And I think it uses sort of science fiction techniques to tell us a lot about the present and what was happening. And I think does an exceptional job at explaining things and delivering its messages. So we should talk about the negatives. Are there any things that you didn't like as much in this?
The only thing I didn't like, Brian, as you know, was the fact that the copy I was watching on YouTube is a bit sort of fuzzy. And I would have liked to have seen a cleaner, sharper copy, which I probably should have gone to that Australian archive and paid for the download. because it sounds like that's a much better version of this TV show. That was my only con, really. I mean, obviously some of the computer graphics are 1989 computer graphics and they look a little bit dated to us now. But apart from that, I've got very little in the way of critiques of this show. What about yourself?
Yeah, so not a lot. I will say that there are some things that are a little dated. You know, of course, the role of computers that he projects into the future is different than not as much as we would expect now. And there are the graphics things that are a little dated. Those are sort of nitpicking. The one thing I will say is that the point of view on the history of it is a little dated in that it's a little more sort of European-centric, Western-centric when he's talking about the development of civilization. It's a very Western take on that and doesn't give as much credit to things that were not in Europe or the Middle East in the sort of development of history and prehistory and so on. And that's just of its time. That was what was available at the time, and there are some things that are a little dated in that way. So looking at it now, I would have liked to see something a little more global in the perspective in that way. However, it's still surprising how little is dated in this.
Yeah, astonishing stuff. Amazing predictions by James Burke, and sadly so much of it has come to pass and we're still ignoring it. It would be so nice if this was more readily available, particularly here in the UK.
Yes, I would love to see a release with a little bit of marketing to push, you know, look what we were able to say then and look where we are now with this show as a way to do that. I think it's something quite special that I wish we were talking about more.
Yeah, very true. I'm guessing it's time for us to move to our recommendations, Brian. Would you like to start us off?
Yes, I can start with recommendations. Shouldn't be a big surprise. Absolutely, I recommend this. It's a fascinating piece in terms of what we were able to say then, what James Burke was able to say then, and what he predicted, the historical aspect and the talk about the interactions between humanity and climate and weather. All of that was fascinating, and a lot of what's there is really still relevant. So yeah, this is a fascinating piece, and absolutely I would recommend finding a copy of this and taking a look. It's really very good.
Double recommend from us on British Invaders, because I'm also going to give it a solid thumbs up and say that you should watch this film or these two episodes, which are strung together into one on YouTube. Fascinating stuff. One of the greats of British television presentation when James Burke. Yeah, give it a watch and let us know what you think.
Very good. So, in summary, in After the Warming, James Burke introduces himself from the year 2050, where he has a projection device that lets him appear in any place or time, realistically to us. And he tells the story of how humans interacted with weather and climate, first being impacted by it and then impacting climate through the greenhouse effect. And in the first episode, we get the history, the story leading up to when the show was produced in about 1990. And then in the second episode, we get a projection looking into the future where Burke describes how we dealt with climate change and how we tried to reduce it and deal with the impacts. And many of the predictions that he had were accurate or were quite close. And he ends with this plea for us to do better in the fight against climate change.
Absolutely compelling stuff, and a fascinating and very slight diversion for us here on British Invaders. And let us know what you thought on all the social media.
Yeah, it's a slight diversion, but not a slight show, that's for sure. And if more of you remember this from 89 or 90 like I do, I would love to hear your reactions to it and if it stuck around in your memories like it did for me.
Great stuff. So next time, come back and join us as we are moving to slightly more conventional television and looking at an alternate history of English magic in a show called Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell from the BBC in 2015, based on a very popular book of the same name, which we'll talk about next time.
Yes, there's definitely lots to talk about with that one. So until then, you can find all of our episodes on BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. You can also follow us on Threads and Instagram as British_Invaders_podcast. And we would love to have some conversations about after the warming. So please find us on the socials.
Yes, come and give us a follow. Let us know what you think. Also, come and find us at the Voice of Geeks Network. VogNetwork.com for much more content, geek-related stuff, gaming and podcasts and so on at VogNetwork.com for the Voice of Geeks.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off. We'll be right back.